Chapter 17. Darcy. I woke to a war drum in my head and a desert in my mouth. The hangover from hell begins. I groaned, rolling over and praying I wasn't about to find an heir in my bed. It wasn't really my style, but after the vat of alcohol I'd consumed last night, anything was possible. There was no one there. A sigh of relief preceded a wave of anxiety. I replayed the events of last night, trying to fit everything into place like a puzzle with missing pieces. I remembered the creepy alley, the bar, the dancing. Oh God, the dancing. Then Geraldine. Shit. I sat bolt upright, my hand flying up to my throat where Orion's teeth had dug into me and taken nearly every ounce of magic I had. Geraldine had been hurt, and Orion, he'd been covered in blood and completely drained of power. I got up, pushing a hand into my tangled mane of hair, trying to pull it out of the nest it was determined to stay in. Strands of blue hovered over my face, and I knew I resembled the undead even before I caught sight of myself in the bathroom mirror. Mascara and eyeliner were smudged under my eyes. But I'd managed to put on the top half of my pajamas before passing out, which I was counting as a win. I stepped into the shower, letting it run cold to help realign my thoughts. Orion had been talking about killing someone. Then Geraldine had shown up hurt, and he'd been the first on the scene. It was too damn suspicious. I had to speak with her. I had to know for sure. But why he'd attacked her, I couldn't figure out. I left my hair to air dry as it hung wet around my shoulders, then pulled on a black sweater and jeans. I put on some thongs, my feet aching too much to bear being confined to any shoes. I pulled the door open and my heart lurched as I came face to face with Seth, his fist raised to knock. He looked disgustingly good for someone who'd been out as late as me last night. The flashbacks hit me in a wave, him and me dancing. My ass grinding up against his. Oh, dear God.
Morning, babe,
he smirked, his eyes shining with all of the memories which were currently haunting me. Hey, I said tersely, tucking a damp lock behind my ear.
Let me help you with that.
He raised a hand and hot air pushed into my hair, wrapping around it until it was perfectly dry. He stepped forward, pressing his nose into it with a sigh.
Cherry. My favorite. Speaking of cherries, has yours been popped yet?
He threw a suspicious glance into my room, and I jammed my shoulder against the door to keep him out of my private space. That's none of your business. And it was especially none of his business that it was popped last year by a guy named Austin, who'd been the perfect gentleman for 3 months up until the point he'd gotten what he wanted. And that was the not-so-funny punchline of my relationship history. The mere memory of the horrible day he dumped me bordered on the edges of my mind, and I blocked it out as hard as I could.
Can I make it my business?
He purred, wrapping his large hand around my back and yanking me into his chest. What the hell are you doing? I pressed him back as my fragile hangover heart had a meltdown.
I thought we were cool now. You know, after you sucked on my lower lip, then whispered dirty things in my ear.
I don't recall any whispering. I blushed because I did recall the other part, vividly. And as I gazed at his mouth, heat coiled in my stomach. He chuckled darkly.
Do you remember this bit, too?
He moved his mouth to my ear and was half a second from biting it the way he had last night, when I yelped and forced him back. He let me move him, stepping back with a wicked grin. I shut my door, locking it tight as I moved into the hallway. Run or fight?
Come on, I'll walk you to breakfast.
He slung his arm over my shoulders, and I tried to duck away. He held on firmly, and that familiar, enticing scent sailed from his skin and planted twisted thoughts in my head. Why are you pretending to be nice to me? We've played this game before, and I'm not falling for it, Seth.
Fuck, do that again,
he said, biting down on his fist. What? I stared up at him in confusion.
The part where you say my name like you're mouth humping it.
That's not a thing. I shook my head, making another attempt to escape and failing. What the hell was happening right now? I need to go and see Geraldine, I said anxiously, glancing at him in case he might have any news on her condition.
Yeah, sounds like the poor chick got seriously messed up.
Lucky Orion was there to help, I said dryly.
Whoa.
Seth turned me to face him, his eyes as sharp as a razor.
What? I gasped. We have a serious problem, babe.
What is it? I asked, frantic. Did he know something about the attack? Had he seen Orion do it?
You just mouth-humped another guy's name, he accused, deadly serious.
My lips parted and heat rushed up and down my spine.
Are you kidding me right now? This is no joke. You know you can't date teachers, right? Them's the rules. And I'd appreciate it if you didn't mouth-hump his name in front of me.
Can you please stop saying mouth-hump? It's not a thing.
It is a thing, he said with a shrug. I just made it a thing.
You're impossible, I sighed, turning and marching away from him. I needed to lose Dog Boy, find Tori, and go and see Geraldine. I wasn't going to waste air talking nonsense with him any longer.
Wait up,
he called, his joking tone gone. He caught my hand, winding his fingers between mine.
Look, I know I mess around a lot and I've been an ass, okay?
I turned to him in utter shock. Was he seriously about to do what I suspected? He took a deep breath.
I'm sorry, all right? For your first night, for trying to make you cut your hair off, and then covering you in mud with my mates and posting it online, and then leaving you in the wailing, I got it.
I cut over him. I remember it all pretty clearly. I tried to pull my hand free, but he wouldn't let go.
I just thought, after last night.
He cleared his throat. Was that actually a look of vulnerability in his eyes?
I just thought things had changed, but clearly I was wrong.
He released my hand and I assessed him, trying to work out his angle, but I couldn't see one. Last night we were drunk, I said, my heart pounding like mad as I prepared to shoot down one of the most popular guys in school. But surely this is some prank anyway.
I know, but...
He shrugged.
So what? I still know how I feel this morning, don't you?
I didn't answer, because how could I answer? I didn't think I even had an answer. This guy had been my arch nemesis yesterday, and a few overly handsy dances weren't going to change that. I shook my head, and he gave me the saddest puppy dog look I'd ever seen. Guilt weaved through my stomach. I don't trust you, I admitted, or anyone, but especially not an heir. His eyes brightened as if I'd just given him the tiniest sliver of hope he needed.
Can I try to make you trust me?
He asked. I pressed my lips together and brushed my fingers through the blue tips of my hair. The most important thing I'd learned in life, you can't trust people. And you especially can't trust boys with wicked smiles and equally wicked intentions. He'd already gone too far, ridiculed me, made my first week at Zodiac as difficult as possible. So what more evidence did I need to stay the hell away from him? No, I whispered, the hurt of my past suddenly too close for me to breathe. I kept walking, but he planted himself in my way and made me meet that begging expression of his again. I can't actually agree to this, can I? To let Seth try to make things up to me? It was insanity to trust him. But now he was looking at me like that, and I swear his eyes were getting bigger, and I was totally melting under his Puss in Boots face.
Ugh,
fine. I gave in just to rid myself of that expression. He grinned from ear to ear.
Kiss? He asked.
No. I gasped as he leaned in for one. Are you crazy? I shoved him back and he started bobbing on his heels.
Crazy for you?
That is the cringiest thing I've ever heard, I laughed.
Yeah, actually. Don't repeat that to anyone, babe. Street cred and all.
He winked, snatching my hand again and tugging me along. You're not coming with me, I said, wanting to set firm boundaries here. We moved into the stairwell, and I spotted Diego heading down from his floor. He looked tired, and I hoped Sophia hadn't given him too much trouble last night. His eyes landed on Seth's hand around mine, and I immediately tugged it free. "See ya!" I shot at Seth with a firm, "Stay away" stare. He ran his tongue over his lower lip, then headed off down the stairs, leaving my stomach in knots.
"Dios mío! Tell me you didn't sleep with that mutt!"
Diego gasped as I met him on the stairs. My cheeks flamed. "Of course not."
"Then why is he all over you?"
"Apparently, he wants to be friends," I said, my disbelief of that fact obvious.
"Pfft, lucky you,"
Diego laughed.
"Just don't buy into any of his bullshit, okay?"
"I won't," I swore. "So how's Sophia?"
"She's still sleeping."
He gestured in the direction of his room, and I raised an eyebrow.
"Oh, nothing happened. I slept on the floor. But she didn't want to be alone, so..."
He shrugged, then gave me a frown.
"I heard about Geraldine. What exactly happened last night? The rumors going around are locos. I don't know what to believe."
As we descended the stairs, I explained everything, leaving out the part where I'd ground up against Seth for over an hour. Gotta stop thinking about that. We headed outside, and I regretted not bringing a coat as a heavy drizzle beat down on me. My atlas buzzed and I took it out, finding a message from Tori. "Tori Vega.
Are you up? If so, meet at the orb in 10.
I tapped out a quick reply and headed toward the orb with a yawn dragging at my mouth. I reached up to the bite marks on my neck, but my fingers ran over smooth skin. I'd recently learned in cardinal magic that fae healed quicker than mortals once their power was awakened. But that seemed extra fast after I'd nearly been drained by Orion. Even now, the well of power inside me felt almost empty. And as I didn't know my order, I had no idea how to replenish it. I ground my teeth, furious at what he'd done. He hadn't just humiliated me in front of my friends and made me feel about as small as a peanut. He damn well left me vulnerable for who knew how long. As I caressed the skin he'd bitten, a hazy memory came back to me on the bus. I'd been half asleep, leaning against Seth's shoulder, when he'd healed the wound, his magic brushing over my skin like a whisper. "Oh." We arrived at the orb, and I anxiously waited for Tori to appear, glad to have someone who was in the same boat as me. The way she'd been dancing with Darius and Caleb last night had practically been pornographic, and I didn't think she was going to live it down anytime soon. She appeared jogging down a path from the direction of fire territory, her leather jacket flapping out behind her, and her face a picture of discomfort.
"Argh!"
She groaned as she arrived, resting her hands on her knees.
"I feel like death, but like if death was a puddle of shit."
I blew out a laugh, resting my hand against her shoulder for a second. "I feel your pain."
"The airs,"
she whispered like it was a horrible, horrible secret we shared. And in all fairness, it was. Diego shook his head at both of us, as if he was our disappointed father. Probably the first time we'd ever had one of those.
"Oh, don't look at me like that," Tori said. "Blame the tequila.
And the rum. And the whiskey. Remind me never to mix drinks again." I rubbed my head. Sure, a headache was going to make a fun appearance soon. For now, I was stuck in the wishy-washy hours before I truly sobered up. After that, it was all downhill.
"How's Sophia?"
Tori asked Diego. While he filled her in, we made our way into the orb to ask about Geraldine. Though who we were going to ask, I didn't know. I gazed across the gossiping sea of students and spotted Professor Washer on the other side of the room, tucking into a large cooked breakfast.
"Great,"
Tori huffed. "It's him or a student," I muttered, and from the nasty looks we were getting from the surrounding sophomores, I guessed it was best to ask Washer, no matter how much he made my skin crawl. "Come on, he can't perv on us while he's eating," I said.
"Want to bet?"
Tori laughed, and we headed across the room, halting in front of his table.
He looked up at us, clearly as hungover as we were.
Ah, there's the tall drink of water I ordered with my breakfast.
He glanced over at us appreciatively, while Diego held back, looking scathingly in his direction.
Right, I said. We were just wondering where Geraldine is. Is she in a hospital?
No, she's in Uranus,
he said around a mouthful of food.
Excuse me? Tori blurted. Our friend has been hurt, and you think it's an appropriate time to start throwing jokes around?
No, he said innocently. She's in Uranus Infirmary, next to Neptune Tower.
Oh. Tori turned red, and I burst out laughing as she stalked away.
Washer beckoned me closer with a grin, and I felt his siren power seeping over me. I drew nearer as a flood of warmth filled my chest.
Uranus is my favorite building, he whispered.
Diego snatched my arm, yanking me away as lust leaked into my body. By the time I was halfway across the orb with Diego, Washer's power left me, and I shuddered violently. God, that guy's a creep. He makes everything sound filthy. As we headed toward the exit, I noticed Tori had come to a halt before a group of girls. I increased my pace, frowning as I joined her, and discovered Kylie standing there with her hands on her hips. Her friends surrounded her, and a sea of pink lip gloss smirks were cast our way.
Wanna explain this?
Kylie lifted her atlas, playing a video on it for us to see. Heat invaded my body as I watched a snapshot of Tori and I dancing with the airs. And it was so much worse seeing it replayed in the flesh. My eyes were hooded as I clasped Seth's neck and he wrapped my leg around his thigh. Tori was locked around Darius in much the same way, his hand riding up the back of her cami and caressing her skin. Tori gazed coolly at Kylie, her shoulders squared.
And your point being?
Hell, my sister had balls. I tried to conjure the same strength, but words were failing me. I was the one draped over Kylie's supposed boyfriend in that video. But even as I thought it, a shriek of indignation hit my ears, and Darius's girlfriend, Marguerite, appeared, shouldering past us to join Kylie's ranks. Flames burst to life in Marguerite's hands as she glared at Tori.
Do you think he's actually interested in you? He was drunk and grabbed the nearest thing with a pulse.
Well, if that's Darius's standard, now I understand why he's with you,
Tori said airily, and I couldn't help but exhale a laugh. A crowd was forming around us, and at Tori's words, a chorus of "Ohs" went up. Diego had been jostled away from us by a few of the larger seniors and was trying to elbow his way back. I lifted my palms, and only a small trickle of power met my fingers. Damn you to hell, Orion.
Bitch!
Marguerite snapped at Tori, stepping forward with a menacing glare. Kylie glowered at me, looking more emotional than Marguerite.
Did you screw him?
She whispered, her lower lip quivering.
No, I said earnestly. It was just a dance, that's all.
My heart twisted. I could see how hurt she was. I wanted to blame Whiskey on the fact I'd shamelessly dry-humped her boyfriend, but I supposed I had to take some responsibility for it, too. Kylie's hand whipped sideways, and a blast of air smashed into my face in the hardest slap of my life. Pure poison poured from her eyes, as if a venomous snake lived within her.
Hey!
Tori barked as I cupped my stinging cheek with a wince.
It's fine, I said through my teeth, looking back at Kylie. Guess I deserved that one.
The look in all of their eyes said they weren't close to done.
Excuse me, move, move, move!
Principal Nova's voice called from behind the group as she tried to get into the orb. The crowd disbanded, and Tori and I made a break for it, darting through the gap. Tori snatched some energy bars from the hand of a shell-shocked ass member, who smiled like it was the best thing that had ever happened to her as we jogged out onto the path. I glanced back at the doors, unable to spot Diego following, but not wanting to remain there any longer. Tori handed me a bar with a mischievous grin, and I released a laugh, the tension in my chest disbanding.
Hey, we're not done with you!
Kylie's voice followed us. Wanna fight him? Tori asked with a manic smile, and I was very almost caught up in that mad idea when I remembered something crucial. Can't. I'm running on fumes. Tori sighed. Fucking Orion. Let's run for it then. We started jogging, the wind tugging our hair back and the thrill of escape dancing around us on the air. Laughter broke free of my throat, and Tori joined me as we sped away from the orb and every angry witch within its walls. We followed the circling path all the way to Uranus Infirmary. The huge building looked more like an old manor house than a hospital ward, and as we headed inside, I noticed signs pointing to different classes. The place was home to healing and restoration magic, and I wondered when we'd start to get learning skills like that. It would seriously come in handy on a campus full of beasts, half of whom seemed to be out for our blood. In the foyer was a large fireplace with two staircases splitting off to the east and west wings. We followed signs to the ward, jogging past rows of gilded framed portraits on the stone walls. The eyes of past healers watched us go, all of them wearing blue robes and a white sash across their chests. We headed deeper into the building, the way lit by flaming torches. My skin prickled with heat, and a deep tingle flooded my body. I hope Geraldine's all right, I said, then chewed anxiously on my lip. She's tough, Tori said firmly. She'll be okay. We reached a long corridor of doors, and I spotted a woman in full-length blue robe stepping out of one of the rooms. Excuse me? I hurried toward her, and she looked up. Is Geraldine Gruss here?
Oh, yes, she's in here. She's been through the healing process overnight and has just woken up. She's still a bit drowsy. Her injuries were quite extensive, she said sadly.
What happened to her? I whispered, my heart lurching uncomfortably in my chest. She glanced up and down the corridor.
I can't talk about it. I'm bound by healer confidentiality.
Can we see her? Tori asked, and the woman gazed between us uncertainly.
I'm not supposed to let anyone in until the Fae Investigation Bureau have spoken with her.
She glanced over our shoulders, then leant closer, rolling her lapel back to reveal a shiny ass badge.
Your friend gave me one of these this morning. I know it's not the time, but I'm so humbled to meet you both.
She bowed her head, and I glanced at Tori awkwardly.
Just a few minutes, the healer whispered with a conspiratorial smile, pushing the door to the room open.
Thank you, I said brightly, heading inside. For once, being a Vega heir had paid off. The room was dark and smelled of a sickly sweet incense. Warmth washed over me from a fire behind a grate on one side of the room and seemed to rush under my skin with its intensity. The thick curtains were drawn, and the room looked more fitting for a Downton Abbey character than an injured student. Geraldine groaned, rolling beneath the crimson sheets, her hand falling to hang over the side of the bed. Hi, Geraldine, I said gently, pulling up a wooden chair beside her. Tori perched on the bed, giving her a sad smile. Geraldine rolled toward us, and her pale face was revealed between the nest of sheets.
Gambling gooseberries, she gasped. What are you doing here, your majesties? Surely you haven't come to see me.
Of course we have, Tori said firmly, patting her wrist.
Oh,
Geraldine wailed.
I feel so tired.
I frowned, my chest tightening as I gazed at her. Are you okay? Do you remember what happened? She nodded, pushing herself upright and revealing the old-fashioned white nightgown she was wearing. I wondered whether it belonged to her or the infirmary, and I had a feeling it was the former.
I took a shortcut down an alley toward the Odyssey Bar. I figured that's where you would have headed. But as I was walking, I heard this terrible noise, a sucking, rasping, rattling noise, and I got such a fright, I dropped all of my badges. So I knelt down, gathering them all up, when this horrible dark shadow fell over me.
She shuddered, gazing between us, and guilt wrapped my stomach in knots. She took a measured breath, shutting her eyes for a second.
Then, something cut into me right between my shoulder blades, like a knife or a pitchfork, I'm not sure, but the pain was unbearable. Then everything fell dark, and someone was kneeling over me, and my magic was draining away so fast, like it was being sucked right out of me. And all I remember is this scent, cinnamon.
She shook her head as if she'd gone mad, but my heart beat harder and harder. I looked at Tori, and her brows pinched in a question.
"We'll leave you to rest, Geraldine," Tori said gently, rising to her feet.
"Yes, perhaps when I'm better, we'll have breakfast again soon,"
she called as we moved toward the door. I glanced back at her, nodding firmly.
"It's a date,"
she squealed, raising a hand in goodbye as we stepped out of the room. The corridor was quiet, and Tori immediately looked to me, her eyebrows hiking up.
"What is it?"
"It's Orion," I hissed. "He smells like that." Heat curled up my neck at the fact that I knew that, but it wasn't worth hiding out of embarrassment. And if she felt drained, maybe he bit her?
"He said he helped Geraldine," Tori whispered, but her face was painted in doubt.
"But what if he didn't? And what about Darius? The two of them left the bar together, and whoever it was must have been after us before. We heard the same weird noise."
"How can we be sure?" Tori asked, pushing a hand through her hair.
"We confront them," I said, my tone surprisingly fierce. "The next time we see them." My heart thumped a mad tune at the idea of me saying any such thing to Orion. But for the sake of Geraldine, I'd do it. We'd let her down by leaving her alone last night, and I was determined to try and make it right, even if that meant facing my cardinal magic professor in his foulest mood. My magic returned. I wasn't sure how or when, but Sunday morning I'd noticed the keenness of its presence, and was fairly sure it had replenished at some point on Saturday. By Monday, I was growing even more anxious about facing Orion. I had my liaison meeting with him that evening, and it seemed like the perfect opportunity to broach the subject. The FIB were currently visiting Geraldine, and I was anxious to hear their latest report. After Friday, the news had been vague, not revealing many of the details, but today, they were expected to announce their findings, and I hoped that meant arresting the perpetrator, preferably Orion, before I had to face him one-on-one. I was gifted no such luck. I stood outside his office at 7:15 in the evening, my throat tight as he appeared, late, as always. He wore a black sports kit with all four elemental symbols printed on the front of it in white. He was splattered in mud and soaked through from the rain which had been descending on campus all day. His face was carved with stern lines, and my heart beat a warning tune in my ears. Oh shit, he's gone full asshole. I was joking when I said I'd face him in his foulest mood, universe. Give me a break. He didn't look at me as he jammed his key in the lock of his office, pushing it open and stepping inside without a word. I ground my teeth as the door swung closed in my face, taking a measured breath. I am Darcy Vega, heir to the throne of Solaria, apparently, and I'm not going to be fazed by a moody teacher, who might also happen to be a psychotic murderer. Holy crap. I steeled myself and shoved the door open. A gust of wind left my palm in the same moment, and the door slammed back into the wall. Whoops. Orion didn't even seem to notice as he dropped into his ottoman chair and proceeded to siphon the mud off of himself with a wave of his hand. I cleared my throat, wanting some damn acknowledgement before I started throwing around accusations. He lifted a hand, whipping it sideways, and the door slammed shut, just as hard as I'd flung it open. My pulse went from not to a million. Should not have come here alone. Terrible plan. Abort, abort.
Stand on the desk,
Orion suddenly commanded, his voice dripping with coercion. The power of it slammed into me, and I threw up a mental shield at the last second, just as I'd been learning to do all of last week. The command tried to burrow through my walls, and I shut my eyes as I focused on keeping it out. My leg muscles twitched, but I didn't budge, fighting the order with all my strength until eventually it fell away. I released a breath that had been trapped in my lungs, opening my eyes and gazing triumphantly at Orion. He clucked his tongue.
Good. Let's get on with tonight's session.
He glanced at his watch.
All 35 minutes of it.
I fought an eye roll, dropping into my seat opposite him, trying to muster the nerve to accuse him of murder. Maybe I should build up to that. Geraldine's doing better, I said, eyeing him closely for a reaction.
Yes, thank the stars,
he said hollowly.
She can go back to annoying us all by preaching about the true heirs.
He actually air-quoted it, and I pursed my lips. Any idea who attacked her? I asked airily.
Whatever I know or do not know about that incident is none of your business.
He stared me down and I refused to budge. I'm not done with this conversation, douchebag, no matter how intimidating you are. I scrunched my fingers up in the black skirt I was wearing, trying to decide on my next line of questioning.
So, how is Order Enhancement coming along?
He leaned back in his chair, threading his fingers together and stacking his hands on his stomach. His t-shirt rode up to reveal a line of dark hair leading below his waistband, and some unholy part of me squirmed with desire. I forced my eyes up to meet his, and didn't miss the flicker of amusement in his gaze. Well, I know I'm not a werewolf, I said with a shrug.
Yes, a great way to figure out if you're a werewolf is dancing with one of them like you were paid for it.
He gave me a long, hard stare that pulled at my insides and unraveled them like twine. He'd seen me with Seth. Of course he'd seen me with Seth. He'd been at the bar. And I suddenly felt too hot, and this seat felt too hard. I shifted nervously, his ridiculing tunneling through my body. I didn't have an answer to that, unsure exactly what he wanted me to say. Deny it? Couldn't. Confirm it? Wasn't necessary. He picked up a pen and rolled it between his fingers, swiveling side to side in his chair. His eyes never left mine, like he was trying to drill his way into my mind and pick out all of the information he wanted.
And screwing him didn't bring out the wolf in you either?
He asked calmly, rationally, like he had a right to ask that. Like he wasn't my damn teacher, and it wasn't so inappropriate I wanted to scream. My lips were pressed so tightly together, I didn't know if they'd even allow me to answer. I didn't, I hissed, and it would be none of your business if I did. He scooted forward in his chair, and his bare knee brushed mine. I dug my heels in, inching backwards as my heart jolted from the contact. He leaned forward, and I held his gaze.
It's my business as your liaison to look out for you. The heirs will chew you up and spit you out, Miss Vega. Just a friendly warning.
Nothing about his face said friendly. In fact, if I looked up the exact opposite of friendly in the dictionary, there'd be a picture of him. I rested my palms on the desk, leaning in rather than leaning away like I wanted to. My heart was frantic and begging me to run for the hills. But I wouldn't run away. This guy needed to know I was onto him. And there wasn't a damn thing he could do about it inside his own office. He couldn't incriminate himself like that. At least, that was what I was banking on. Funnily enough, sir, I've taken an interest in your business too lately. I let the energy of that impending thunderstorm crackle over him. He cocked his head, his mouth twisting up at the corner.
Well, don't keep me in suspense, Miss Vega. I'm dying to hear the speech you've written for this occasion.
He smirked darkly, and in that moment, I knew that he knew what I was going to say.
because I'd already reacted like a kicked puppy when he came hounding into the bathroom after me on Friday night. He knew I was afraid of him. He knew I suspected him of coming after Tori and I, so he'd already put two and two together and realized I suspected him of attacking Geraldine too. But he didn't know how I knew. I folded my arms and abandoned my speech because, damn it, he'd been right about that. I'd been rehearsing it all day. So I decided on being entirely blunt instead and laying out all of the facts. I raised a hand to count them off. You and Darius have been against Tori and I since we stepped in the door. You meet up in secret, and you talk about going on killing sprees like it's completely normal. You chat with some stupidly hot model in a bar who was apparently in the know about your killing sprees, and then you corner me in a woman's bathroom like a psycho. Then, later that evening, both you and Darius go conveniently missing just before Geraldine turns up almost dead in a strange attack. Oh, and who happens to be the first on the scene? You, covered in blood and smelling like cinnamon. Orion's brows had raised during my list, and now he was grinning, his dimple out in full force.
Cinnamon?
Yes, I said firmly. Geraldine smelled it, and that's what you smell like, so... I waited for his outburst, a fierce denial, or him falling to his knees and begging me not to go to the FIB. But he just sat there, watching me like I was his favorite TV show.
And how many people have you told this, Miss Vega?
He asked calmly. Too damn calmly. Enough that if you lay a hand on me, the whole school will know what you're up to before midnight. Triumph scored a path through my body, but something about his expression told me I hadn't quite won yet.
Well, it seems you've been spending a lot of your time spying on me. And smelling me, apparently. But I'm still waiting for you to plant the evidence on my desk.
He gazed at my hands, mock expecting me to produce something, as my gut shriveled into a prune.
No?
He questioned tauntingly.
No video, photo, audio recording? No evidence at all?
I remained totally still, refusing to back down. I might not have had evidence, but it was only a matter of time until the FIB caught on to him. Orion calmly took his atlas out of his bag, placing it under my nose, and brought up a news report which had been published less than half an hour ago. Wounds on Zodiac Academy student, now confirmed as a nymph attack. Underneath it in bold were the words, Professor Orion, the head of his field in cardinal magic at Zodiac Academy, is expected to be awarded the Noble Crest after his act of bravery saved her moments before her death. Oh, I breathed as the world crashed in around me.
Yes, oh. Now can we return to your session, or do you have any more wild accusations you want to throw around? Is Principal Nova dealing drugs under the bleachers at the pitball stadium, or is Professor Pyro starting fires in the Wailing Wood?
He chuckled at his own words, and I rose to my feet, knocking my chair over in my haste. You know what? I'm done with these sessions. I know what I heard, sir. And maybe you didn't attack Geraldine, but I know you're up to something. I strode toward the door, but Orion flew in front of me, his vampire speed propelling him into my way. My heart got jammed up in my throat as he gazed at me. Don't bite me, I snarled, stepping back in a rage. You took almost everything from me the other day, and I've only just got my full power back. His eyebrows knitted together.
You got it back? How?
I shook my head. I'm not sure.
Well, pay attention next time.
He stepped forward, and I slammed a hand to his chest, my heart screaming. Don't, I commanded.
I wasn't going to bite you,
he said, and my shoulders sagged with relief. He stepped back and pointed to my chair, flicking a finger to force it upright.
Stay. Finish the session.
I glanced at the door uncertainly, unsure what to believe anymore. Will you answer something for me first?
Depends what it is,
he said in a gravelly tone. Do you want me and my sister dead? I pinned him with my hardest, most unwavering stare. For Tori, for me, I had to hear his answer, even if it was a lie. His eyes softened, running over my face with the faintest of frowns.
No, Blue, I don't.